This sermon is titled Proverbs on Relationships, Friendships, Proverbs for Daily Living Series, Part 2. Be enriched as you listen.
Today, we're going to look at this whole aspect of relationships, right? So young people might be saying, okay, finally, something that I can listen to. You know, I want to be in a relationship. I'm looking for, it's not that alone, right? And maybe it's not that actually. It's about friendships. It's about relationships, okay? And the book of Proverbs has a lot to talk, a lot to teach us. So here we go. Okay, it's the first part, guide to friendships. Okay, so we are looking at the book of Proverbs, chapter 12, verse 26. Right? Proverbs chapter 12, verse 26. Here, the emphasis is on choosing friends. It says, choose your friends carefully. Now, we might say, you know, friendship should happen organically. You can't have these kind of filters or categories and, you know, all this selection process and audition for friendship. I must accept the person as I am, as they are. Just because, you know, I am as I am and I should accept the person as they are. But when we look at friendships, the Bible is very clear. It says, choose carefully. And it says, because there is every possibility that you could drift away from what is good. Drift away from righteousness. Drift away from things that are actually beneficial for you because of the friendship. Right? Saying, choose carefully. You have all that possibility to drift away. And it is a real danger. Right? Choose carefully. You know, the person who offered a weed, a joint, to me to smoke, was not some shady drug dealer in some dark alley saying, tss. No, a friend. They're having a good time. The friend said, hey, want to try? I said, sure. The second time, a friend. The third time, a friend. Right? So that is why the Bible says, choose carefully. Because what we are invited to in that friendship and what we open our lives to in that friendship might actually take a lifetime to undo. So there is wisdom in the Bible saying, choose carefully. Not all people who want to be close to you actually should be close to you. Proverbs 13. Verse 20 says, he who walks with wise men will be wise. And so, which means that there is a shaping of things that are internal that's happening as we journey along with people who are wise. The conversations, the ideas, the things that they share, it is actually forming something inside of us. We may not realize it. Hey, I'm just doing life with this person, with this bunch. You know, we are running together. You might use that phrase. But it says that he who walks with wise men will be wise, meaning there is a rub off that's happening. There is a shaping that's happening with that conversation, with those choices that you see, with that lifestyle decision. There are things that are happening, shaping that's happening on the inside of us. We may not realize it, but we suddenly realize that, hey, I've changed for the better or for the worse, spiritually, morally, practically, there's change. And when the Bible says walk, it talks about something consistent, having a lifestyle, having consistent companionship. So that's what we're talking about when we say friendship, right? We're not talking about Facebook friends, right? Are you friends? Yeah, you click and you become a friend. Have you met that person? No. Will you ever meet that person? Probably not. We're not talking about that. We're talking about consistent companionship. We're talking about, you know, this journey that we're making. It's not an occasional conduct or occasional meeting, right? We're walking together. And that is why he who walks with wise men will be wise. And it also says, but if not, then there are some things that will be eroded. broken chisel, we may not realize it. You know, the thing that is even dangerous than a flat tire is a slow leak. You know, the tire is full in the night. Setup team, worship team, you know, early in the morning, just rushing, just going there and, oh, tire is flat. And you know what kind of confusion and chaos it will be, and if you want to reach on time, right? It's a slow leak. So that is what Bible is, the book of Proverbs is warning us and encouraging us. It is saying the companion of fools will be destroyed. It's a slow drift, but it's a drift nevertheless. It's a slow eroding away, but it's an erosion nevertheless. Proverbs 17 and verse 17 says, a friend loves at all times. A friend loves at all times. So we're not talking about fair weather friends, right? You know, I know we have a, you know, this whole thing of networking and leveraging for business and so on. And so, you know, we are overly friendly with people and we want to, you know, get to know them because they have something to offer. Or we want something from them, favor, right? Something. Some entry into some business or whatever it is, you know. And you know, it's fine. Networking is important. But when it comes to friendship, it says a friend loves at all times. You know, whether they bring something into your life or not, a friend loves at all times. Whether they're having a good time, whether they're on the mountaintop or in the valley or even beneath the valley, a friend loves at all times. And in all seasons. And that is why we can truly be ourselves with some people. Like, truly be ourselves. No facade, no masks, no pretense, right? No hypocrisy. It says, a friend loves at all times. And the rest of the verse, it says that, you know, sometimes true friends are even closer than family. It says, a brother is born for adversity. A friend loves at all times. Let's move on. Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18, 24 talks about, you know, addresses this important question. Why don't I have friends? Have you asked yourself this question? No, I don't have friends. And it says here, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. So we need to ask ourselves this question. Am I approachable? You know, when that person said hello, was I in my own world and did not even respond? Or I muttered something and did not even make eye contact? Right? Am I approachable? Am I warm? Do I allow people into my life? Right? Discerning, of course. So it says here, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. And there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Again, the whole thing of, you know, some friends are loyal and dependable and like relatives and family, probably even more, right? Proverbs 22, verses 24 and 25, here it cautions us about making friendship with someone who's angry, who's furious, and who rages, who's lashing out, saying, if you're going to be having this constant walk with such a person, you're going to learn their patterns of behavior. You're going to learn that and you're going to adapt that and practice that in your own life. Right? It says, the second part of that verse, verse 25, it says, lest you learn his ways, and it says, and you set a snare, a trap for your soul. Right? So it's like we are becoming prisoners of our emotions, of our thought patterns and so on. If we adapt this kind of behavior, anger and rage and so on, right? And Proverbs 27, verses 5 and 6, 9, 10, and also 14, it talks about honesty in friendship, right? Honesty in friendship. And it says, open rebuke is better. Right? I know, you know, sometimes we say, I'm a very honest person and I appreciate honesty in others. Right? But deep within, when honesty comes our way, we are actually turning the other way. You know, we've got our defenses up. We've got our shields up. I don't want you to be too honest with me, you know. Not that honest, bro. No. Open rebuke is better because it's prevention of mistakes being repeated. How do I look? I think you need to change that shirt. But this is my favorite shirt. I feel so comfortable in it. Open rebuke is better. Some of our behavior, some of our decisions. Hey, you should not go with that person. How dare you? You know, you're doing this, you're going around, you're doing this. This is not good. I think you need to change. You know, I remember a friend from my youth group, and I was actually living a dual life and all that. And one day after prayer, he asked me, you know, why were you not engaging in prayer and why were you not doing that? Then I said, no, I didn't feel like it. Then he said, I think you need to go and check your life. You know, much older than me. But he said, I think you need to go check your life before Christ. I was so angry, so upset. How dare he say that? But that was an honest rebuke. It was not a rebuke. It was an honest suggestion. Check your life. How are you doing spiritually? Check. So we need that. We need that. And that comes from honest friendship. And it says, rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. Look at verse 6. Faithful are the wounds, you know, of a friend. It means this is hurting me badly. What you said so honestly, should you be so brutal in your honesty? Can we tone down the brutality? He says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. A deceitful kiss brings to mind the kiss of Judas, right? I think season 5 or 6, I forget, Chosen, ended with a kiss of betrayal. It says, the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. It's like a very intimate gesture. It's like an expression of love, but it's deceitful. Right? The kisses of an enemy are deceitful. So a friend who honestly corrects us loves us more than someone who silently watches us as a spectator and sees us fall. Verses 9 and 10, it says, like perfume and ointment delight the heart, the sweetness of a man's friendship give delight. Delight us by hearty counsel. And again, I remember some friends in my life as I was a new believer and struggling in certain things, and they would come and intentionally spend time with me. Now, looking back, I see that it was done intentionally. Every Saturday we would meet for prayer, and maybe an hour before that they'll drop in home and then have these conversations, right? And the conversations would be about Jesus, what Jesus did for them, what Jesus is doing in somebody's life, what Jesus is doing in that church, all about Jesus. And so by the end of that conversation and that time spent, I feel so edified. So edified, so inspired. All cynicism and everything would have gone out the window, right? And the Lord promises, like, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there. So we're having this conversation about Jesus, and suddenly the whole atmosphere seems to change, right? It's an atmosphere of faith because he brings his kingdom, righteousness and peace and joy, and I'm feeling so light in my spirit. I'm ready for my journey with Jesus. Continue on with Jesus. Whatever doubts or questions I might have had. Right? So, like that, says, this is what happens in true friendship. It's a sweetness of a man's friend. Hearty counsel. This is what happens. Verse 10 says, do not forsake your friend. A friend from maybe a younger, when we were younger, or it says your father's friend, maybe a family friend, don't forsake them as you move on in life. Continue to value their friendship. Continue to honor your friend and your family's friend, right? Verse 14, It talks about excess or inappropriate gestures when it comes to friendship. And it's very humorous. It says, he who blesses his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, you know, we know how irritating it is. There are early people, morning people, and there are morning people. You know, morning starts somewhere, midday, or, you know. So it says, be appropriate. If it's inappropriate, if there's excessive ways, you can actually be annoying. You can be that annoying friend that everybody wants to avoid. Okay, so that's, we see those things about friendship, being honest, and sweet counsel, and loyalty, and so on, right? Let's move on. Okay, now, Proverbs also talks about showing mercy. We're talking about relationship, right? We're talking about interactions with people, and the Lord has wired us for interactions, wired us for community, wired us for fellowship, and it says here, we need to show mercy. In Proverbs 3, chapter 3 and verses 3 and 4, it says, it talks about mercy and truth, right? Mercy to show kindness. The Hebrew word actually says loyal love and kindness. And we know mercy is, you know, giving something to someone, showing kindness to someone who maybe probably doesn't deserve it. So it says, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck, right? So we know that the Jewish people actually wrote things and tied them and put it on their doorposts and so on to, as a reminder of the word of God, as a reminder of the promises of God. And so it says here, you know, let mercy and truth be like that. Let it be like a reminder to you. Let it be like an ornament for you, upon you. Right? Mercy and truth, don't forsake it. It says, write them on the tablet of your heart. So the tablet of our heart, you know, it's talking about those days, the stone, the inscription on the stone, which will be a permanent mark. It's going to stay for some time, right? She's saying, yeah, let it be like, write them, mercy and truth, write them on the tablet of your heart. Let it be like a long-term reminder. Let it be like a stone, inscription on the stone, mercy, truth. Let's move on. Proverbs talks about doing good, okay? And different contexts, very interesting. Proverbs 3, 27 to 32, if you look at verses 27 and 28, it talks about the fact that when you have resources, when you have the means, when you have the ability to do good, don't delay it. Sometimes we do that. It's inconvenient for me to go and get it and give it to you. So can you come tomorrow, please? Right? So that's the context. It says, don't withhold good to those whom it is due when it's in the power of your hand to do so. It says, do not say to your neighbor, go and come back and tomorrow I will give it, when you actually have it with you. Right? It takes effort. Probably there's some kind of discomfort to actually take it and give it. And so don't do that. Don't delay. Do not withhold good. Right? Verses 29 and 30, it says, don't devise evil against your neighbor. Someone who trusts in you, someone who is with you, do not be unfaithful to them. Don't pick fights. Don't make false accusations against such people. Verses 31 and 32, it's talking about lifestyle of some people. Now, it talks about perverse person. It talks about an oppressor. Definitely someone who is walking not in the way of the Lord, probably walking in the way that we used to walk before we came to the Lord, right? So it says, don't envy. I don't know how many of us have done that. You know, those days, I used to live like that. And in the corner of the heart, there's a yearning. I wish one weekend, you know, I can put things on pause and maybe check things out. Right? Maybe there's a yearning to the lifestyle of the past. You're saying, now I'm part of church, now I'm... Anyway, one big sigh and then we continue on, you know. But he's saying, don't even envy. Don't envy the lifestyle of the past. Don't envy the oppressor. Don't envy the perverse person. And don't do that. It's an abomination to the Lord. It says, don't choose any of his ways. Choose none of his ways, right? Next, it says, be generous. We saw one thing about giving and not delaying. But here it says, be generous. And we know the principle of the kingdom. It says here, there is one who scatters but increases. In giving, there is something that is coming in. And then it says, there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. Right? So it's an upside down kingdom principle. And it says here, the generous soul will be made rich. One who's giving, scattering, dispersing, there is more coming their way. He who waters will also be watered himself. Amen. And so this is the kingdom principle, and this is what we are called to live, to be generous. Right. The other thing we see is not to have partnerships. Right? What kind of partnerships? It says, do not partner in wickedness. Right? Do not partner in wickedness. Maybe, you know, when we think of wickedness, we have a certain picture. But wickedness is anything that is not of the Lord. Right? The Bible says, let there not be even a hint of immorality among you. It's a high standard, but the Lord enables us to walk or keep that standard. Amen. So we see here several phrases. You know, this is the usage. It says, do not enter the path of the wicked. Don't walk in the way of evil, the way of wickedness, and so on. So what is a path? A path is leading to a destination. A path is a series of steps, right? So it's an everyday thing that you're doing. It's a small decision, small step, but it's leading somewhere. It's leading to a destination. And the Bible is saying very, very specifically, do not walk that path. Do not walk in that way. And it contrasts that with the path of the just. So the Bible is saying that if you take that path of wickedness or way of evil, it's going to end up in darkness. There's going to be a cause to fall on your way. You will stumble. It might seem like everything is secure and everything is established and fine, but there will be a cause to fall or stumble on the way. Because this is what it says, the path of the just is like the shining sun, shines brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. So the Bible is warning us. You know, if you look at Proverbs and the Word of God, it's like several signposts. Several signposts. Are we happy for signposts? Yeah. You know, before the days of Google Maps, we relied on signposts. Anyone? We relied on hand-drawn maps. And also those big printed maps I never could read that, right? But we drew our maps. We are so thankful for signposts. We're so thankful for people who, when you ask them, they did not show the other way, but actually showed you where you need to go. The Bible is like that. There are signposts. Signposts, billboards screaming at us. Encouraging us, urging us, and saying, hey, this is the way, walk in it. This is the way, walk in it. Are we ready for some more signposts? Yeah, I can hear a whisper or a murmur. Okay, here's one. Here's another signpost. It says, talks about dangers of becoming a guarantor for someone's debt. Now, the Bible talks about generosity. The Bible talks about helping another person when you have the ability to do so. But specifically, it says, this is not the way to help. Right? To become a surety for someone. And it has some very harsh, or not harsh, sorry. It has some very urgent message for some. For those who are already in that kind of situation, it says, deliver yourself. Like an animal which is trapped would struggle to deliver, like a bird which is in a snare would make every, you know, flap and make every attempt to deliver itself. You deliver yourself. And so there's a sense of urgency, there's a sense of, you know, treat it like an emergency and do not take that path, right? And, you know, if we are already in that situation, or if we have faced the, you know, the that kind of situation, the consequence of such a situation, know that the Lord is a redeemer. Hallelujah. That's not the end of the road, right? The Lord is our redeemer. He will give us the wisdom as we walk, as we cooperate. He will set us on that path of restoration, right? But for those who are considering, should I help in this manner? Here's a warning. There are several other verses also. If you look at Proverbs 11, 15 and 22 and so on, it says, don't do that for a stranger or for a friend. Don't do that, right? Okay, another signpost is about self-exaltation. It's about lifting oneself up. Now, we know that we use social media extensively to share. Now, it's a wonderful thing, right? Friends, family, and we get to know what's happening in others' lives. We get to share what's happening in others' lives. And you know, it bridges the distance, right? It's like the person is there and you're having a chat the same day. And it's nice, wonderful. But the fine line is there self-exaltation in all that? Look what I have, or see what I'm doing. Is there a subtle message of self-exaltation? Like even spiritually, you know, sometimes that happens, you know, in the form of testimonies, in the form of, you know, look what God did in my life. And the question for us to ask ourselves is, who is the hero in this story? Who is the hero in this story? I want to tell you a story, but who's the hero in this story? Is it Jesus? Or is it yours truly? You know, self-exaltation. It says, do not exalt yourself. And it talks about several contexts, right? It talks about in the presence of a king, people of position and power and influence. Don't lift up yourself and don't do that. It is better for that person to give you favor and say, come up. And it's better for that person to lift you up to an exalted position and honor rather than you promoting yourself, right? Proverbs 27:2, it says, let another man praise you. Let that other person praise you and not your own mouth. So this is a checklist for us, you know, to reflect and check and see if these things are there in our lives and make course corrections, right? The other one is about resolving conflict. Okay, is everyone following? Okay, just a check. Or are you way behind? Okay, let's look at some more. Right? Resolving conflict. Proverbs 25, it talks about, you know, the fact that if there's a conflict, don't rush into legal action or a public dispute. Handle things privately, discreetly, for the most part. Try to do it. Handle it. Because things can get worse and it creates bigger problems than actually solving. So be careful. Be careful. Don't be hasty. Yes, by all means, we need to use the system of justice. But it says, you know, don't be hasty in it. Consider other options. Consider solving things out of court, right? The other one is to mind our own business. Okay, it says, don't meddle in other people's lives. Now, sometimes we have this savior syndrome or being a busybody in other people's lives, right? So it's talking about meddling, right? There's a difference between a peacemaker and a meddler. So here it says, don't pass by and meddle in someone else's quarrel. And I think it happens on our roads, you know, some scratch somewhere, you've touched some other vehicle, and there are people to and fro. There's a great debate happening. Yeah, you did that. And everybody, we didn't sign them up. Everybody's volunteering. And everybody's there, right? And so it says, don't meddle. It's like actually taking a dog by the ears. an aggressive animal. Wild dog, you're taking it by the ears. So stay out. Okay. Proverbs 23, you know, if you can turn there, it's very interesting. It talks about several kinds of people. Because we're talking about relationships, right? Several kinds of people and some wisdom about relating to them. What we can do, what we should not do, right? So Proverbs 23, here we go. Verses 1 to 3, leader. If it's a person of influence and position and power, exercise self-control, exercise discernment. Don't be seduced by favors and be self-controlled, right? Exercise restraint, discernment. Someone who is, verses 6 and 8 talk about, 6 to 8 talk about someone who is miserly. And if they extend insincere generosity, be careful, right? Don't just accept that kind of hospitality and so on. So be careful. Verse 9 talks about us taking instruction and wisdom and doing everything for a person who does not want to receive. Who's already made up a decision not to receive any wise counsel. So it's saying, don't waste such counsel, and uses a harsh word. Don't waste counsel on a fool. And that person is going to reject wisdom. Right? Verses 10 and 11 talks about those who are vulnerable, the fatherless, the weak, the powerless. Don't exploit them. Don't exploit them. Now, sometimes this can be a learned behavior, right? Maybe people who help us in our homes, our house helps, and even some places, you know, when we buy things and we are bargaining tooth and nail. You know, my grandmother was like that. Bargaining, and my father would say, grandfather would say, you know, why are you doing that? She said, huh? You don't know. Very aggressive, right? Saying, hey, don't exploit. Could be different scenarios. Don't exploit, because God is their defender. And the word used there is redeemer, redeemer, kinsman, redeemer. And he's the one who indicates, don't exploit people because they don't have a voice or because they are in a vulnerable position. Don't exploit them. Here's something about children. Verses 13 and 14 talks about children, and it says, discipline your children. And all the parents said. So when we talk about discipline, we're not talking about injuring, cutting off something. You know, we're not talking about breaking the person, but we're talking about loving correction, right? And we also know as parents that there is age-appropriate disciplining. When a toddler is throwing a tantrum and making a mess, that's not the time to just negotiate things, because the toddler doesn't even know the vocabulary, doesn't know the words. And you know, that's not the time for chapter verse and say, hey, this is what. No, you just lift the little one and say, behave yourself, right? But when the teenager or the young adult is throwing a tantrum, that's not the time to say, behave yourself, or to say, because I said so. This is how it should be, because I said so. Just because you're taller than me, you know, I held you, I raised you, I washed you. You know, you should know whom you're talking to, right? So that's the time for age-appropriate discipline. Discipline by all means, but have a conversation, right? Reason and say, hey, I'm coming alongside you. I'm trying to understand your pain and difficulty, but don't neglect that correction. It says here, you know, be firm, be loving. Set boundaries, because children need that. Failing to discipline is failing to love. Let's understand that. And those who are on the other side of the discipline process, understand that it is love. It is compassion. Yes, it's coming through a broken vessel. There are no perfect parents. Amen? It's coming through limitations. It's coming through what they know best. But it's compassion and love expressed. So failing to discipline is failing to love. Okay, let's move on.
I think we saw this already, but 23, 17 and 18 talks about not envying sinners, not envying the lifestyle, but fear the Lord, remain steadfast. Verses 20 and 21 talk about those who are ruled by uncontrolled self-indulgence, right, in their lifestyle. It says drunkards, gluttons. It says, lest you end up in poverty, learn their ways and ruin your life, right? So be careful. Self-indulgence leads to addictions and leads to a whole lot of problems, opens up our lives to things that we don't want, right? Verses 22 to 25 talks about parents and particularly talks about elderly parents whom maybe we have, who are there around right now. And it says, honor, listen to your parents and let it not be, you know, for a time, let it be throughout our lives. Honor, to listen, to respect, right? Verses 26 to 28 talks about those who sell their bodies for a living. Yes, unfortunate situation, but it says, you know, prostitutes, about prostitutes, and it says, guard your heart and choices. Sexual immorality, it is a trap, it is a snare, and it destroys lives, right? It's a predatory thing, it's destructive. Guard your heart and eyes. Okay. And I just call the worship team up. And lastly, it talks about being remembered for what is good. You know, Proverbs 10 and verse 7. It says the memory of the righteous is blessed. Right? So it's talking about, you know, you and I leaving a legacy of goodness where people think about us beyond our time, and it's not for our for us being notorious, but for us being good. And goodness not in just words, but in action. Right? I'm sure that in our lives we have, you know, come across people or people who impacted us and, you know, whose lives were an example to us, and they speak to us even now, right? They're not there, but their example and their inspiration, you know, we are drawn to even now and said, that person did that. That's a legacy of goodness. We leave behind a legacy of faith, leave behind that decision that we made, that choice that we made, leave it behind to the next generation. So leaving a legacy, being remembered for what is good, right? And so, you know, the beautiful thing is that we have the Lord who's giving us all these principles and precepts, but we have the Lord who's promised us His presence. So we have this rich principles and precepts, all these signposts, but we also have His presence with us. Amen. His presence to lead us and guide us and say, hey, do you understand this? Can I teach you? Do you know this? Can I show you how to live that out today? You know, that challenge that you're facing, right, in that relationship, can I give you that wisdom and the know-how to navigate that? We have the presence of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We are indeed privileged people. Privileged people. We have this treasure. And we carry this treasure in earthen vessels. Hallelujah. So even as we, you know, worship this time and just pray, can we just invite the presence of the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, I invite you, God. I'm a needy person. Yeah. I might lack certain things, God. But Lord, I have you. I have you. I thank you for the wisdom. But Lord, I need wisdom to apply it. And even when I want to apply it, I need your empowering so that my will becomes strong to say yes. And even stronger to say no to certain things in life. Right? So let's make that our prayer. We made the choice to listen for your voice, Master, even today. John 10 and verse 10, the Lord says, The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. You know, that's our Jesus. That's our Jesus. He's our good shepherd who's willing to lay his life down. He laid his life down. He'll never do us wrong. And this morning, you know, he's saying, even as you're saying, Lord, I've made the choice to listen for your voice, God. Lead me. Lead us, Lord. Lead us, O God. You know, if you're here and if you've not yet invited Jesus into your life, you know, this is an opportunity to do that. And it's very simple. You just pray, which means talk to Jesus, because he is real. He's alive. He's here. So just talk to him and say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive, change. I need you. Maybe we are needy people and we've been looking at many other things. The Bible says that he died for you and I on the cross. He took our sin, which was separating us from God, and he removed it out of the way. But he rose again on the third day. This is what the Bible declares. So you can say, Lord, I believe this, and I invite you. And you can pray a simple prayer like this after me. You can say, Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. I believe that you died for me on the cross. And I believe on the third day you rose again to remove sin that was separating me from you. Come, shepherd of my soul, be my Lord, be my Savior. Amen. Let's pray and let's close. Father, we thank you. We thank you that we have you in our lives, God. We pray even as we navigate this beautiful thing called life. We thank you that we don't have to do it alone. We thank you for godly relationships that you placed in us, placed for us, God. And I just pray for those who are yearning for such friendships, loyal friendships. I pray, Father God, that even this week, Lord, that you will lead, you will appoint, there'll be a divine orchestration to bring such friendships, God. And I pray, Father God, for those of us who are not friendly because of past hurts or who don't know how to be approachable, Lord, pray, we pray that you'll teach us, you'll show us in the coming days. We thank you. Lead us, Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and fill you and give you his shalom. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We trust this message was a blessing to you. For more free resources, including sermons, sermon notes, and books, please visit apcwo.org. For information on APC Bible College in Bangalore, visit apcbiblecollege.org. Do remember to download the All People's Church Bangalore app from the Apple or Google Play Store.